Good morning. Could start making our way in, finding some seats. We are just a minute early this morning. But welcome. I'm not the official welcomer. John will do that in a minute. But I have been asked to make an announcement before services this morning. Men, well, everyone, but mainly towards the men, August 5th. Mark your calendars. That will be our annual Men's Day, the morning of Saturday, August 5th. The theme this year is striving for home. Now, that can be taken several ways, striving for our heavenly home, or striving to make our earthly homes better, more godly. You just have to show up to find out. But again, that's August 5th, morning of August 5th. I'm going to say that several times. Now, a few weeks ago, a month or so ago, the ladies had a really good turnout. At their Ladies' Day, I believe some 30% of the attendees at the Ladies' Day were from this congregation. We're aiming for kind of those same numbers. There's several reasons. Number one, men, we need representation from our congregation. This is designed for the men at this congregation to make our homes better and strive for our heavenly home. We need you here for representation, and we also need volunteers. We need men who are going to show up to help guide all of our visitors in different ways. And also, we need you here to be lifted up, to be edified, and for the fellowship. There's just a lot of good reasons to be here. It's a really good program. So please show up. Again, that is August 5th, Saturday morning. Mark your calendar. Ladies, moms, daughters, sisters, aunts, tell the men in your lives to mark their calendars. August 5th. Thank you.
Members, guests, visitors, each one of you are welcome. If you are a visitor or guest, and a special welcome goes out to you. We're always pleased to have guests and visitors, and hope you'll come back at any opportunity that presents itself. We enjoy these gatherings on Sunday morning. We're called to attend, to assemble together, to lift up our voices in praise to God. And these are great gatherings, and we're very appreciative of each one of you who has come to join in. And now, let's join together with sincere hearts in our praise to God Almighty.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Power and strength to the Lord. seated, please. Before we go to our Father in prayer, we will sing Ancient Words.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we give you such praise and glory and honor. And we are so thankful today, Lord, because that we know that you have loved us. And we read in the Bible how it talks about even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, we give you such great thanks for your love for each and every one of us. And Lord, we confess that we are sinful people and that we often do not reflect and live out that love in our lives. But Lord, we pray through your great might, through your spirit that lives in each one of us, that you would teach us to show love more and more to each other, to the lost in this world, and that we might be more pleasing and better servants to you. And Lord, we ask that you would use us and teach us to love each other and send us out into the world that we might show the love of Jesus to others. Lord, please use this time of assembly this morning that we might all better learn to love one another. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
If you would like to mark the invitation hymn for this morning, it will be 930. And before the scripture reading and the lesson, we will sing In Christ Alone. In Christ Alone.
At this point, the children's training class is meeting in the back room back there, so the kids can dismiss for that. And if you see Phil and Renee Gillum, tell them thank you. That is a labor of love that has gone on for many, many years. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
The battle belongs to the Lord. Have you heard better news this morning than that? The battle belongs to the Lord. And what that means is that whatever battle we're fighting, if we are his people, God's got this. It may not turn out exactly the way we want it to or when we want it to, but trust God. The battle belongs to the Lord. God's on our side. And that is wonderful news. And you know the best response to that is to smile. Because we've got joy in our hearts. Because God is with us if we are with him. And he will always be with us no matter what. We're so glad to be able to come together this morning and offer him our worship and our praise. And to say, Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. And help us to be your people always. That's why we're here this morning. We're glad you're with us today. We have a good number present with us today. As has been noted, many visitors are with us. Some of whom I've met, many of whom I've not. And I'd love to, but I got to tell you, I'm going to be rushing out again today. Because today's my day to go up to the prison and help out with the worship service up there. And we have to get there by a certain time or the men won't be able to come. So I'll be getting out, but there'll be plenty of other friendly people around to greet you, and I hope you'll let them, because we are so glad you are here with us today. Linda Moore was surprised this morning when her sister from Washington State showed up without her knowing. She was in town, and her daughter and her granddaughter are with her as well. And what a great surprise that is for Linda, who's going to be celebrating a birthday later this week. I will not say which birthday. And others are with us. Now, some are with us on a limited time basis. I found out this morning that Leanne and Wade Horsley are moving soon. And that calls for a public reprimand. But we'll withhold our reprimand and wish you Godspeed. There's a great opportunity that has presented itself in Texas. And so we're happy for that, but we're going to be really sad to see the Horsleys move away. Also, we've been talking about how Allison Gillum and Janelle and Alan Burns and their family are going to be moving in a couple of weeks. And then Carla Davis is going to be moving before too much longer. We don't have a date for that yet. So just know that's all we are going to let leave this year. If you're having thoughts about leaving, forget it. You can't. But we are so glad you are with us this morning. And if we can help you in any way, we'd love for you to let us know how we can help. This evening at 6 o'clock, Lord willing, we'll meet again for worship. Greg Ryan is going to be bringing the lesson then. So I know you'll want to be here for that. And join us in person, if at all possible. We're moving toward an outdoor service. It's not here yet, but it's not much further away. And so just be here with us indoors this evening, and it'll be great. But anyway, get your Bibles out now. Let's all get into the Word of God. This is another way that we worship the Lord, is by letting him speak to us through his Word. And so let's humble ourselves before the Word of God. Now, first of all, let me mention something that probably most of us have experienced at one time or another. And that is, we'll get a credit card in the mail. Sometimes it's one we've asked for or expected, sometimes not. But most of the time it will have a message on it that says, not valid until activated. And what that means is you have to call the number that they include in that letter, or maybe go to a link that they provide you on the internet, and then do whatever it is they tell you to do, and then that credit card is good to go. But if you try to use it before that, it's not going to work. It's not valid. It has to be activated. Salvation is a gift far more important than credit cards or cash or whatever we might think of. Salvation means eternal bliss and security. It means rescue from the effects of our sins. And God offers this gift freely to anybody. But do we need to activate it? Is there something that we are asked to do? And could it be that I am kind of in the dark about this? I think I have salvation as a gift for me, and yet really not. And if that be the case, is there any way to know whether salvation is in my grasp or not? Well, I'm happy to tell you, if we go back to the Bible, we'll find the answer to that question. That's been our theme this year in 2023 on the first Sunday of each month, back to the Bible. And that's what we need to be doing every week, of course. Every day we need to go back to the Word of God. And this morning we're going to look at that question, is it possible to know that I have salvation? Is it possible to know the moment of our salvation? That's an interesting way to approach the question, isn't it? And I'm happy to tell you, the Bible says yes. We can know the moment of our salvation. Let's see what the Bible says on this very important question. Now, first of all, I want us to think about an unpleasant subject, and that is the reality of spiritual deception. The reality of spiritual deception. Now, last week, I happened to be looking through my spam folder. Not something I recommend that you do. But I found in my spam folder a message dated April 19th from Lowe's. You know about Lowe's, that store over across the other side of town. And it said, I had won a free golf cart. Now that's pretty surprising since I rarely go to Lowe's and I don't play golf. And I didn't click on that link. And I don't think you would have either. I hope not, because I'm 99.99% sure it was a scam. It was a deception. And what would have happened if I'd clicked on the link was they would now have information that I did not want them to have, and all kinds of other things would follow from that. But we know about that. That's everywhere today. Deception is just so commonplace, we're becoming very skeptical. But does it happen spiritually? Jesus said yes. Did you hear the passage that Perry read for us a few minutes ago? Look again, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. We'll not read the entire section, but Jesus said this in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And as you heard the passage go on, Jesus said, there will be many in that day who will say, Lord, I did this, I did that, I did all those religious things. Let me in. And Jesus said, I don't know you. Why doesn't Jesus know them? Those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Now, what they were doing may have been good in itself, but was it what God had asked for? Were they listening to God for his instructions, for his teaching? And that shows us many are going to be deceived because even though they think they're being religious, that religion is not coming from God's word. That's the difference, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21. Think also about another example we find in the New Testament. Go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 3 through 5. And here are 12 men that Paul meets, and they appear to be very dedicated workers for the Lord. And yet Paul understands, he finds out after talking with them, what's different about you. And it says that in Acts 19, beginning in verse 3. Paul said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And you remember how John came before Jesus began his ministry, and he was preaching a baptism of repentance, and people were being baptized. I mean, great numbers of people were coming out, and that was the will of God. And so you would say, well, that looks like they're okay. But listen to what Paul says in verse 4. Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus. On hearing this, they, the 12 men that he's confronted now, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The second time they've been baptized. Why? Hadn't they already been baptized? Apparently, their baptism came after Jesus died on the cross and the gospel was preached, because now they needed to do it the right way. They needed to do it in Jesus' name, because Jesus was the one who shed his blood for their sins. And again, you see, the idea is you got to be very careful. When it comes to salvation, we've got to be extremely careful that we're listening to God and doing things the way he has said. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, he said, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. It happened in the earliest days of mankind on earth. Satan deceived them. Does it still happen? Paul said, I'm afraid it's going to happen to you as well. And that tells me it is an ongoing challenge that we face. People can still be deceived by Satan. And therefore, we've got to, again, be very careful, be on the alert that these things are out there, and not click on every spiritual link that comes up, because some of them are a scam. And you know, we talk about to prank someone another, April 1st, April Fool's Day, and you know, we pull minor pranks someone another, and we laugh about it, usually. Sometimes we don't. But you know, that's no harm. But if it's serious, if it affects my bank account, for example, if it affects my health, if it affects my family, I don't want to be scammed. I want to know the truth. And when it comes to my salvation, there's nothing more important. I want to know the truth about what God expects. And therefore, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul gives this advice. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent. Be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. You will never fall if you practice these qualities. He just talked about adding to your faith virtue and all that list, the Christian virtues we call them. But in general, the idea is, are we listening to Jesus? Are we following his word? Be diligent about it. Don't just say, well, you know, I think everything's okay. I really feel it in my heart. That's a very common response when you're talking about religion. I just know it. I just feel it. Not good enough. Because Satan can deceive. God will tell us the truth. And so we need to listen for that truth. Now let's get to the question we started out with. What about that moment when salvation is bestowed? Is it possible to know that moment when salvation is bestowed? Well, let's go back to the opening illustration, the credit card. I got this in the mail. I'm going to go straight to the store and make a purchase with it. No, it's not going to work until I validate it. And then once I do that, then they will honor the credit limit on that card. Well, is it something like that when it comes to my salvation? Well, that's kind of what we see in the Word of God. And let me share with you these passages, and I urge you to look at them for yourself. Don't take my word for anything. Take God's word for everything, because there you know it is right. Go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, look at verses 4 and 5. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5, beautiful passage. And he says there in verse 3, when the goodness and loving, Titus 3, verse 4, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. So that's it, right? When Jesus came, then we were saved. No, that's not what it says. That was necessary to make our salvation possible. Jesus living a perfect life in the flesh, resisting every temptation, being qualified to be the Lamb of God, that was all necessary. But he goes on in that statement. Look again at Titus 3 verses 4 and 5. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul makes very clear, we're not going to work our way to salvation. And I understand that. I totally get that. There are not enough good things in this world to make me able to go to God and say, you owe it to me, Lord, save me now. No, it doesn't happen that way. It'll be by his mercy. But there are things involved that has to happen. And what are they? The washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is that talking about? When does that happen? Is there anything I can do to make it happen or to claim that promise? And as I look in the Word of God, yes, that idea of washing appears in Acts 22:16, for example. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Now, here is Paul talking to a gathering of people, and he's telling what happened to him to make him turn away from his avid torture and persecution of the Christians. And now he is a preacher of Christ. What happened, Paul? And he's telling them there what happened. And listen to what he says. Ananias told him. Acts 22:16. This is the man Jesus sent to Saul. And here's what he said. Why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's what Ananias told him. This is the man Jesus sent to meet Saul of Tarsus. And that's the message that Ananias had. And Saul did just that. He was later renamed by Luke, or it's just the Gentile name of Saul, Paul the Apostle. But you see, the idea is he had to respond to the grace that Christ had shown him. And the response was, rise and be baptized. Why? Wash away your sins. Now, you may notice in Acts chapter 9, we're not going to read this right now, but make a note of it and look it up later. Acts chapter 9, in the original account of this event, in verse 9 and in verse 11, we learn that during the time between when Paul met Jesus and when Ananias arrived, it had been 3 days. 3 days he was waiting. And what was he doing during that time? Fasting and praying. He was praying for 3 days. Now, don't you think that that would be enough? I mean, Lord, I have sinned. I'm begging you, forgive me. Wouldn't that be enough? And yet when Ananias shows up, what does he say? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. The sins were still there. They would not be there if Saul would get up and do what Ananias told him. And Saul said, that's exactly what I did. I did exactly what the Lord instructed me through this man. And now I know I am clean. Now, why is that important? Because often we hear Romans 10:13 mentioned. Romans 10:13 is absolutely true. I love it. I believe it. Here's where Paul says this in Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Hadn't Saul been calling on the name of the Lord for 3 days? And he showed his genuineness by not eating during that whole time. He was fasting as well as praying. You see, sometimes it means more than just words. And if God calls upon us to do something, it's not working our way to salvation. It's responding to the grace of God. And so that's what we're looking at here. And when Saul did that, he could know at that moment when he came up out of the water of baptism, he could know my sins have been washed away, because that was the command of God. That was the promise of God. And he knew it is now real. Go to Colossians 2. Look with me at Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. And again, we're asking the question, can we know the moment of our salvation? Here's what Paul wrote in that passage. Colossians 2, beginning in verse 11. In him, talking about Christ, of course, In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, if I were to put off this physical body I have right now, that would be called death. I'm not going to do it. Not right now, not by my own choosing. But that's the idea here. Through the circumcision of Christ, we're putting off the body of the flesh. We're dying to sin. So now there's been a death. What next? Well, naturally, look at what it says in verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, a burial naturally follows a death. And how do we do it spiritually? In baptism. Having been buried with him, with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Do you see it? There's the moment of salvation. We are laid in that grave of baptism with Christ because we have died to our sins. And why did we go down into that grave? Because we had faith. We had faith that God would raise us up, just like he raised up his son from the grave, alive. And he says that in verse 13, you are now alive. That's the moment of our salvation. John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, Jesus meeting there with Nicodemus at night. And you remember what Jesus said, very curious to Nicodemus. He wasn't really prepared for this, and he couldn't really get it at the moment. Jesus said in verse 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And there again, you see the water and the Spirit, the washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, as we saw back in Titus chapter 3. And here again, water and the Spirit are combined, just like Peter talked about in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, your sins will be forgiven, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, there is a combination here, and it shows again, we're talking about a new beginning. At that moment, when we are born again at the baptism, assuming that we have entered into it with the right frame of mind as taught by the Word of God. And Peter says that as well in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Listen to the way he describes it. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. And he'd just been talking about Noah building the ark and how that ark was the means of salvation. Actually, it says the water was the means of salvation because it lifted the ark up above the destruction that was going on earth. And then he makes this application in verse 21. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Baptism now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Curious, isn't it? Baptism now saves us. Well, it's not the water. There's nothing holy about this water, but it is the medium that God commands into which we are baptized. And then coming up out of that, we are brought up different, new, clean. You may think of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. I don't have that on your notes. But this man was told, you know, go down to the Jordan River, dip yourself 7 times, and you'll be cleansed of the leprosy. What? And yet he did just that. And apparently he did it 7 times. That's what the text says. And he was clean from his leprosy. That was the moment of his cleansing when he obeyed the word of God given through the prophet. Well, again, that's the idea for us. We can know the exact moment of our salvation because we have heard what the Lord has said. We have believed it. We have accepted it. We have submitted to it. And now we are being saved. Not because of our power, not because of the water, but because of the promise of God through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says essentially the same thing. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, that in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. When does that newness come? After we've been buried and after we've been raised with Christ. That's the moment of our salvation. I remember a moment very clearly in my mind. October 31st, 1977. 5:07 p.m. Central Time. Joyce and I were living in Madison, Wisconsin at the time, and that was when they said, your son was born at that moment. Now, it might have happened at 5:06, or Joyce may tell me when I go home. It was actually this time. She knows better than I do. But you see, there was a moment there, an official moment that they pronounced, okay, he has now entered this life. He is now officially born. And can we say that happened with us spiritually? Well, we may not remember the exact time, maybe not even the exact date. But God knows. God knows if we have listened and received that word gladly and obeyed him. So can I know that I am saved? Listen to what John says in 1 John 2 and verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Is it important to believe? Absolutely, it's important to believe. But faith is not totally faith if we don't obey. And that's what John is saying. If we keep his commandments, we know him. We know we've been saved. How about you? Do you know that? After hearing this message from God's word, what do you know about yourself? Can you say, yes, I know. I've done exactly what it says. Praise God. But if there's doubts in your mind, you want to talk about them more. We'd love to talk with you more about them. Or if you need to act right now, we'd love to help you with that right now. And if you know as a Christian you once did that and yet you've fallen back into sin, you know you need to come back home, repenting of sin, praying for forgiveness, and we'll be glad to pray with you, encourage you, help you any way we can, whatever your need. Why won't you come as we stand together and sing?
Jesus, the loving shepherd,
seeking the sheep,
Be seated, please. Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing 335, In Memory of the Savior's Love.
In memory of the Savior's love, we keep the sacred feast, where every month of night track our His Savior from guests. By faith we take the bread of life,
get your communion supplies ready. Matthew chapter 26, and I'm going to be reading verse 17 through 20 to start with. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said unto them, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with them." And then on down to 26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and saying, 'Drink from it for all of you, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in my Father's kingdom.'" So let's prepare for the taken to the bread. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each day that we have. Heavenly Father, we thank you most of all for our Lord and Savior, that on the night of his betrayal, he took bread and he broke it. And he told his disciples that this is soon to be his sacrificed body on the cross of Christ. And Heavenly Father, help us as we take of this, do so in remembrance of the true sacrifice, but the love that he manifests, that he was giving his life on the cross for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, prepare for the fruit of the vine. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we look back at that old rugged cross, but most of all, we look into that cross and we look at the blood that was shed from the top of his head to the tips of his feet, and realizing that that blood was the sinless blood of the Son of God. But he was willing to shed that blood that we can live eternally with him forever. And Heavenly Father, as we take of this fruit of the vine, help us to realize the true sacrifice that was given that we can live with him forever. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been told in 1 Corinthians to lay in store as we've prospered. And whether we realize it at times or not, we're so blessed to have what we have. And we're going to be judged for what we do with that. You know, some people, the Bible talks about riches. But God gave Abraham riches, Solomon riches. But he also gave him a commandment to be fruitful and using it in the Lord's kingdom. Matthew chapter 6 says for us to lay treasures up in heaven where moth and rust can't get to. And we're also responsible for that. So we'll have prayer at this time, thanking him for what he's done for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity, even the commandment to fulfill, to give back as we've been prospered. And Heavenly Father, we realize that it's not possible to give what all Christ has given for us. But we are told to give in so many different ways. And even if it's not monetary, it's a way of sharing Christ's love with others. We pray, Heavenly Father, that given that responsibility, we do so in love, realizing that everything that we've received from Christ is love. In Jesus' name we ask this prayer. Amen.
Let's have a prayer, and then we'll have a few announcements. Lord, we give you thanks for this opportunity we've had. We thank you for every gathering that we have, every assembly that lifts up your name. Thank you for each one who has joined in today here in the auditorium, those at home. Bless us all, strengthen us for whatever might lay ahead of us this week, Father. May we ever remain faithful to do your will. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please pick up your communion cups and throw them away as you leave the auditorium. Smiles for a Child Box. The boxes are available to pick up now. Please get a few boxes to fill and have them back by Sunday, May 21st. Doug Booten is going to give us more information about that. Our congratulations to high school class of 2023. We are honoring our graduates with baskets that can be found in the Visitor Center. Please show them your love with cards and other gifts. Our graduates are Madison Looney, Chloe Layclock, Dezel Rambald, and Peyton Lewis. If anyone can donate small terracotta pots, that's 4 to 6 inches, please leave them on the desk in the children's training room before this Wednesday. Upcoming events here at Central include Retired Men's Breakfast. That's going to be May 9th at 9 a.m. The Redbirds Monthly Luncheon will also be May 9th, and that will be at 11 a.m. at Harbor House. And the Dorcas Group meeting May 10th at 1 p.m. Please remember these in prayer. Janice Mosey remains in the hospital at the Med Center. She has been moved to Comfort Care. Also, Sam Johnson, that's the grandfather of Josh Johnson, was taken to the ER Thursday in Murray, Kentucky. Sam, who's aged 94, has been found to have pneumonia in both lungs, AFib, also blood pressure issues. Natalie Holder, that's the niece of Heidi Elliott, has learned that there is a hole in her heart, which was likely has likely been there since birth. She is to meet with the cardiologist next week. Let's remember Natalie in our prayers. Also, Henry Winston is at Mountain Home VA recovering from injuries he sustained in a recent car accident. He asked for prayers as he recovers. Also, I want to share with you an item of good news, and that is that Greg Ryan has begun serving as involvement minister for Central. Greg started this past Monday. This is going to be a part-time position as Greg will continue to teach full-time during the school year. If you would like to know how you can be more involved in God's kingdom, see Greg. Doug?
Hey, we're getting ready.